Now, remember a few minutes ago when I suggested you might have the feeling you've heard this all before? Our next guest says an audio form of déjà vu can tell us a lot about the way our memory and consciousness work. Ann Cleary is a professor and coordinator of the Cognitive Psychology Program at Colorado State University, where she's researching this thing. Ann, thanks a lot for joining us on Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, the concept of déjà vu is strangely familiar to most people, but the idea that there are sense-specific versions of it, I didn't really know about. Can you talk about this one particular one? Déjà, am I saying it right? Entendu?
Entendu is entendu. The best I can
like
say
that.
It.
Okay.
So déjà entendu is basically the auditory version of déjà vu. So most people are familiar with déjà vu, the feeling of having been someplace or done something before, despite realizing that that's impossible because the situation is actually new. The auditory version is not as well studied as déjà vu. And so in my research lab, we'd been studying déjà vu for many years, using virtual reality and giving people virtual tours of scenes. And we'd been pondering whether there might be a way to try to do something analogous in the auditory realm. So having no existing research to go on, we tried to think up analogies to our own research paradigm. And our research paradigm over the years for studying déjà vu involved trying to create that juxtaposition between intense familiarity and novelty that seems to characterize déjà vu. So an intense feeling that you've done this before, while at the same time an intense feeling that this is new and that's impossible. And the way we did that with studying déjà vu was to use spatial resemblance. So people would take a virtual tour through a scene, and then later on they would take a virtual tour through an identically configured scene that is otherwise novel. And we found that we could produce the déjà vu experience
wow.
in the laboratory through that, focusing on when people fail to recall. So they can't remember what the source of the intense familiarity is. It's really the fact that they were in an identically configured scene earlier, but they don't remember that. And when they don't remember that, that intense familiarity kind of juxtaposed with that newness of this new scene can lead to the report of déjà vu.
So we can get déjà vu on cue. So now we're trying to do it with sound. Now, how do
yes.
you do something like that?
Exactly. So we'd been pondering that for years, actually. And one of my colleagues joked, well, maybe you could do something like play It's Hip to Be Square by Huey Lewis in the News, but in the Gregorian chant. And he was joking, of course, that's impossible. But it made me realize, well, wait a minute, there is something out there in the world that is kind of like that. And that is the piano puzzler. So a piano puzzler is basically a new composition that involves taking a well-known tune like London Bridge and altering it to fit the genre of a famous classical composer like Chopin. And composer Bruce Adolf creates a new piano puzzler every week for the show Performance Today with Fred Child. And what happens is listeners can call in and try to identify the song and the composer from the puzzler.
Okay, let's give a listen to one of these so people have a sense of what we're talking about here. All right, so there's our piano puzzler. Can this really trigger that déjà vu-like feeling for sound déjà entendu?
I realized that piano puzzlers are essentially these creations that involve the juxtaposition of familiarity and novelty. And so maybe not for every single puzzler, but for many of them, when you're listening to it, it elicits this feeling of familiarity, this feeling of, oh, wait, I think I know that. Where have I heard that before? While recognizing it's not exactly something that you've heard before. And so I thought maybe this would be a good auditory analog to what we had been using to study déjà vu. And so what we did was we took a whole lot of piano puzzlers and we plugged them into a research paradigm that we had been using over the years to study familiarity in music. we have participants listen to short clips of piano songs. And what we had done in previous years is isolate particular features of those songs. So maybe later on, they just hear a clip of the tapped out rhythm of, say, London Bridge that they maybe heard a clip of earlier, or the notes adhering to an arbitrary rhythm. And what we have been finding over the years is what we call recognition without identification. People can have a sense of recognition for these isolated song features without being able to identify what the song is. And so what we did was we took the piano puzzlers and we plugged them into that paradigm. So we had people listen to song clips that were unaltered. Later on, they then listened to piano puzzlers, and some of the piano puzzlers had come from songs that they'd heard recently and some had not. And we were interested in when people can't identify what the song is that the puzzler was created from, can they still have a sense of familiarity with it? Because if so, that would be the recognition without identification phenomenon that we've been studying in my lab for years. And we took it a step further and asked people to report on any feelings of déjà entendre. And this is the first study to really look at whether reports of déjà entendre are related to a known laboratory phenomenon. And what we found was, well, first of all, we found the empirical recognition without identification phenomenon with the piano puzzlers. People did have increased familiarity with them if they came from a recently heard clip, even though they couldn't identify the clip from which it came. But more interestingly, that effect, that recognition without identification, was related to reports of déjà entendre. And so that was a proof of concept that perhaps these piano puzzlers, there's something to this idea that they elicit a feeling of familiarity in the absence of identification that may be like déjà entendre or this auditory form of déjà vu.
And as we wrap up, what do we learn about our brains and memory by trying to figure out déjà vu, déjà entendre, and these other features of our minds?
Yeah, I think it's telling us something about how our memory processes work. And so there's a lot more to memory than just recalling something or consciously recollecting a prior experience. Our memories are actually very complex. And sometimes we fail to recall specifics, but we have a sense about a situation. And that sense can just be a feeling. And it can be our memories driving that feeling. And it may be that there's an adaptive purpose to that feeling. And that is, it prompts us to continue searching our memory for something relevant. It's a very rapid way of alerting us to the fact that there's something relevant here in the current situation. Keep looking for what it is. So it grabs our attention and it gets us looking for information.
And thanks a lot for sharing this with us.
Thank you.
That was Ann Cleary, coordinator of the Cognitive Psychology Program at Colorado State University. We talked to her about her research into déjà entendre. That's like déjà vu, but for sounds.